patient care with leather or paper on this week's Insights in Nursing. Welcome back to another episode of Insights in Nursing. I'm your host here, Jamie Davis, and we are going to be talking about all the issues in nursing and healthcare this week. And as always, I have a very exciting panel to bring to you here, including everybody's been on the show before, but I don't think they've all been on the show together. So let's start off with Lovely McKinney, who is the author of the amazing WordPress blog, The Dog Ate My Care Plan, and that's dogatemycareplan.wordpress.com. Lovely, welcome back to Insights in Nursing.
Thank you for having me back.
So we're going to be bringing you in here, and we get to team you up with my original cohorts in fun here, starting off with Terry Pollock. Terry is from Nurse Ratched's Place, and Terry, you haven't been on the show in a couple of weeks, but it's always great to have you back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Kim McAllister from the Emergy blog. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Jamie.
So this week we got a bunch of good topics, and I think we'll just jump right in. And let's start off with a look at a report from the Royal College of Nursing in Wales in the UK. Talking to in a response to the I love the name of this commissioner. We should have commission names like this, the Older People Commissioner. It's not a commission for aging. It's not commission for the elderly. It's the Older People Commissioner. It's like somebody on Sesame Street named this one. And not that I dislike it. I think it says exactly what it needs to say. So
it could have been worse. It could have been like director of Depends or something.
Hey, no, that's assuming that all the older people are incontinent. Let's be fair. They might get there eventually, but. But talking about the fact that dignity is at the heart of nursing care, and that. And this is and talking about nurse staffing issues, and this is an interesting take on this, because for all of the discussions we have here in the United States about nurse staffing, it's about improving patient care, it's about improving medication error rates and improving patient safety, but nobody has come back and said this is really about giving the care providers, the nurses, time to spend time with that patient, that patients have feel like they are being cared with compassion, kindness, and dignity when the care workers have enough time to spend some time communicating with them. So I think I'm going to throw this one out to Terry. What do you think? This is makes such good sense. It's amazing. Part of me says it's amazing it's taken this long to get out there. The other part of me says, well, this should have been hidden under the rug.
Well, you know, we've been doing this forever, and I think we got away from the bedside when the HMOs started stirring the pot and making healthcare more money-focused. I mean, it takes money to provide staff. The people in charge of running the hospitals aren't so interested in quality of care. I'm sorry, I said it. There you go. The bottom line is the bottom line. I mean, there was a time, and I do remember this time a long before Lovely was probably born. We had 4 patients apiece, and I sat at the bedside of dying patients, and my job was to hold their hand and help them die. And that was in the hospital. Now it's like you got 10, 14 patients on a med-surg unit. You're stuck to a computer because, oh, God, JACO wants all this malarkey documented, all their little forms. And you don't have time to do nursing anymore. It's really disheartening. And that's why a lot of people are leaving the nursing profession.
Lovely, you got brought into this early. And I think that it's interesting that Terry mentioned that this has been before your time and actually before my time as a nurse. As a nursing student, do you feel like you're going to have enough time to spend time with your patients and communicate with them and share that caring compassion that as nurses we're all supposed to be doing all the time?
I'm afraid that I might not. I mean, from what I've seen in the clinical setting, nurses really don't have time to sit and, you know, talk to their patients and let their patients ask questions. And it just seems that what's even worse is now that the patients are, they tend to be afraid to use the call bell. So now they don't even want to call their nurse when they have a question. They don't want to bother the nurses because they just see the nurses running. They're going here, they're going there, you know, the pharmacy. Like, it's just such a busy, crazy place that there's really, I don't see a lot of, you know, nurses getting to sit down and actually talk with their patients.
Kim?
Well, my first thought when I saw this article was, well, duh, you know, this is the, hello, they're just, they had to do a study to find this out, you know, that dignity was at the heart of nursing care. It is what we do. As far as having time to spend time with patients, sometimes it isn't the, it isn't quantity, but it's more quality. I don't have hours with my patients, or hopefully I don't have hours with my patients because I work in ER. But you can't, so you have to make that connection and you have to, the communication is condensed. And the key is to just making the patients feel comfortable enough that they can talk to you as their nurse, someone who just, they just met maybe 5 minutes before. Another thing I notice when you spend time and you talk with patients, it's not just, you get so much information. So it's not just a matter of, I'm sitting and talking to you so you feel like you're valued as a person. You would not believe the amount of information I get from patients, just shooting the bull with them about, you know, how they're doing, what's going on, that actually affects their medical care. Things that they will think about they didn't think about before. Things they really didn't want to mention to the doctor, but they'll certainly mention it to the nurse. I get it works for the patient because indeed I'm reinforcing the dignity that they should already feel coming in. And then I'm also getting information that actually can affect their physical care too. So when they say nursing is holistic, this is what they're talking about.
Does it, I mean, I like one of the quotes from this article is being treated with respect and dignity is second only to a safe discharge from the hospital. And that's from Christine Thomas, who's the district nurse and the Royal College of Nursing in this region. And, you know, I think that so often we become so distracted in getting all of the various jobs and chores that we have to get done in a given shift and having to run from place to place and patient to patient that it is very difficult. But you're right, Kim, we can still be, we can have a quality of time in limited time we spend with our patients that can improve that sense of caring and dignity and respect.
Exactly.
Lovely. Is this something that's focused on in when you talk to your instructors and you work in your clinical setting? And do you see yourself or other students trying to develop that type of caring and compassion along the way? Or is it, I remember just being so focused on trying to get all of the various pieces of information I had to have assembled for my patients for the day, because I had to be able to give a report back to my clinical instructor and to assemble my care plan before the dog ate.
Not a lot of those care plans. We since we have a little bit more, I guess, time on our hands during clinical than, you know, the regular nurses, we do get a lot more, you know, we're in the patient's rooms primarily because there's no space at the nursing station, but we're in the rooms with the patients a lot more. So we are talking to the patients and we are, you know, giving them the opportunity to ask questions, even though we might not know the answers. We can, you know, take that back to our clinical instructor or take it back to their primary nurse. And I actually had a patient where she was refusing her insulin. She was in there for something else, but she didn't want to take her insulin, and nobody really seemed to ask her, you know, why she didn't want, you know, what was her concern with the insulin. And, you know, I stayed in there with her a while, and I was talking to her, like, you know, Kim said, kind of just shooting the breeze, and come to find out she thought the insulin was making her sugar high. And it was like a totally like an education issue. But once, you know, I talk to her, and I'm like, this is because she's actually was a patient that was on just oral agents, so she regularly didn't take insulin, and she thought that they're making me take insulin, that's making my sugar high, and she's just breaking down, but nobody, you know, really had the time or took the time to talk to her to tell her that, you know, you're in the hospital, you're sick, you know, makes your sugar a little higher. Now you need that little extra something to bring it back down. And it was, you know, it really made me feel good to be able to educate my patient and talk to my patient. And she felt so much better when she understood what was going on. But before, prior to that, she just really felt that she didn't have the opportunity to ask those questions.
That's such a good example. I think that one of the challenges is that how often do we think that patients actually make informed decisions? Because so much paperwork and so many things are said to them and thrown at them, and we're going to do this to you. Do you understand? And, you know, we get the blank stare and the nod, and that doesn't necessarily mean they understand anything.
Right. And then I find that a lot of patients don't really feel that they're qualified, I guess, to make an informed decision because they think, well, you're the professional. You know, the doctor's the professional. They know what's best. But, I mean, they do have questions that sometimes need to be answered.
Terry, what can a nurse do? And as we're so busy and working and running from place to place, and we've now got too many patients to handle at times, and what does a nurse do to improve this level of care?
Well, I can give a personal example, but I put a little footnote to this and say a little warning. This will piss off your boss because
uh-oh,
bosses are all about the paperwork. But I put people first, paper second. I take care of my patients and I put them first. At the end of the shift, I will document. And oh my God, if it runs into overtime, that's when administration takes note because you're hitting their piggy bank. And that's when nursing just needs to go, well, what's it going to be? People or papers? If you don't want the overtime, hire more staff. And if you keep saying patients, well, why are you working over? What's your boss going to do? Argue when you say, I'm focused on patient safety. That's the catchphrase.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody wants to argue with that. That's like sitting on the American flag, you know? So I have on a couple of occasions gotten some people's attention by pissing them off.
Yeah, and I've had the same thing where I'm so busy actually taking care of the patients, and this is true in a few of the ERs I worked in also, that, you know, I'm making just really brief notes, getting things done, getting more patients cared for, spending more time at the bedside or what little I can in the emergency department, and then charting at the end of the shift. And luckily, where I work now, this doesn't seem to be an issue if you have to chart past the end of the shift because it means it was a really hectic shift. But I'd rather do, and documentation, I'm sick. I love documentation.
You are sick.
What press are you on?
I love writing, sitting down and writing nurse's notes and painting a picture of what the experience was for that patient that shift. Always have been. And so I'm a frustrated writer, I guess. And so I would rather get the patients taken care of. I can always sit and chart what I did later, but to be there for that patient at the time they need me for what they need me for, I don't have an option for that. I have an option for when I decide to do the documentation for that patient care. Fortunately, I'm in a position now where I'm able to do both. It's just a really good department. And, you know, if it goes a little bit over and now and again on the overtime, well, you know, they'd prefer it didn't, but you've got to document and that's understood. So I guess I'm in a lucky position.
Wow, that was a good one. I love documentation, huh? I will have to, you should do a whole blog post on that, Kim. I'm sorry. It should be
I should. I always have. It's a standing joke at work that everybody can tell when I've taken care of a patient. A, because I write in royal blue ink, not black. I refuse to write in black. Black is horrible. I am a total rebel. And let me tell you, that has gotten me into more trouble in some of the facilities. You have to write in black. Well, that's from the old days when Xerox, when they made Xerox copies, and red and black and green or blue and green didn't show up on a Xerox. Well, I'm sorry. So I have my own special pens because I have to write with a certain type of pen, none of these cheapy corporate pens, and in royal blue. And
you
so
diva. Oh, my God.
I am a writing diva. And if I write in black because I don't have a blue pen to my liking that particular day, which is rare, everybody's like, wait, why come you're not writing in blue? You never write in black. You should write in blue. Well, you know, that's how I roll.
Now, lovely, this is a do as I say, not as I do situation. Graduate nursing school.
I've been so far, we haven't been able to write in a chart. Everything's electronic now, so we get to click.
Oh, I as much as I love technology, and I'm really looking forward to online charting. I'm really good. Maybe I can make it a blue font or something. I am really gonna miss. Yeah, I am really going to miss that sitting down and writing out because it's all, I mean, when, okay, this sounds horrible, but when you're doing it online, everybody's looks the same, you know, so that horrible pride I have in these immaculate charts are, you know, there it goes. So eventually we're going to get to the, as good as my hospital is, I don't think they quite understand that it's the 21st century. So it's going to be about another year, I think, before we're getting any sort of a computerized charting system in the ER. So, I'm looking forward to it, but I'll be a little sad.
Aww. We'll have to get you blue font.
Getting Kim a blue font, that's just going to be our goal.
Well, that was the standing joke on my blog. Every time I wanted something done, you know, Shane works with me on the blog, and I wanted blue. He goes, blue? I said, yeah, it's got to be blue. And so we call it Emergy Blog Blue.
Oh, you have to get T-shirts. I'm feeling Emergy Blog Blue today.
Yeah, my cafe press store will open tomorrow.
Well, while we're talking about charting, you know, another article that came up in the news this week was an interesting question. This comes from a joint article from the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Kansas City Star. And it asked the question, all right, so you're a nurse practitioner. You have your brand new doctoral degree as a doctor of nursing practice. And what do people call you in the nursing notes? Because the question has been asked, what are we going to call nurses with doctorates?
You call them nurses.
Thank you.
That's what they are. I mean, they're nurses with an advanced degree in nursing science. It's not, I mean, I can understand in this country, if somebody uses the term doctor to you outside of a university, You automatically think medical doctor. If someone says Dr. Smith and you're sitting in a classroom at a university, obviously it's a educational doctorate or a doctorate in another field. But I can understand where they're concerned that there's going to be confusion. And I think what you do is I am your nurse, whether or not I'm your nurse practitioner in this case, or a clinical nurse specialist in this case, but you're always a nurse. It's like, hi, I'm not, if I, God forbid I ever get mine, I'm Dr. McAllister, your nurse. Hi, I'm, you know, Kim McAllister, and I'm your nurse practitioner. And when you're going to be required to have the doctorate for a nurse practitioner anyway, but it's not the same as a medical doctorate. So, a nurse with a doctorate, is a nurse, maybe a nurse practitioner, maybe a clinical nurse specialist, but there's a nurse in the title. If you want to call them doctor outside of the patient bedside, I think that's fine. But I think patients will get confused if you use it at the bedside. And I say forget, I'd say keep nursing your title no matter what you're doing, because that's what you are.
No, patients don't just get confused by that. I mean, when I was working as a paramedic in the ER while I was in nursing school, I was, here I am, I guess, late 30s, early 40s guy walking into the room in scrubs with my stethoscope, and people thought I was the doctor. They just assumed because, you know, of how old I was and how I looked, and, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm the clerk and tech for the floor today. So,
right.
It was a completely different. I think patients being confused about who's in their room is just they're not sure about people's jobs, and I think that falls more to the person should do a better job of introducing themselves. And we've seen, raise your hands in the virtual environment if you've ever seen, the gaggle of residents wander into a room and nobody introduces themselves.
Right, exactly. And it's the funny thing is people are visually oriented. And in the old days, doctors wore lab coats, male or female. Doctors wore lab coats. Nurses wore white. So, and then housekeepers or whatever wore whatever their uniform was. And it was easy to spot the nurse because they were all in white. And plus they had this gorgeous cap on their head unless they were a guy. But you could always tell who was who just visually. And that's gone now. Everyone's in different scrubs, different color scrubs. I've seen nurses in lab coats. I've seen doctors in white and regular scrubs. You know, there's no visual cue anymore on who is who. So you really have to be, and you can introduce yourself, by the way, but as a patient, I don't know that I've always, and I try, that I've always remembered the names of the people who have taken care of me, including the nurses. And I was in the ER recently, and when I thought, I'll remember his name, because I'm going to write this wonderful letter when I'm done, because nobody ever gets wonderful letters about their care. And I forgot it. Couldn't even remember the doctor's name. I could just tell you who was the nurse and who was the doctor, and couldn't remember anything else about them unless I had written it down. And I don't think that's a function of age. I think it was just how patients are. They're so concerned with other things when they're in there, they don't really remember what you tell them in terms of who you are.
Terry, what will you be calling the doctor nurses?
Like Kim said, I mean, a physician is the doctor, and a nurse practitioner with a PhD is a nurse. That's it. I mean, I've worked with a gentleman for a long time at my former job. He introduced himself as a nurse. He was the vice president, or he was the president of nursing at our hospital. And I knew him for years, and one day I was at a banquet, and he was being presented as the speaker, and all of a sudden they pull out his PhD and this and that and his advanced degrees, and just it went endless. And afterwards I pulled him aside and I said, "Man, Bob, I didn't know you were just so darn smart." And he said he just keeps those under his hat because it just muddies the water. Again, he's male. He is in his 40s, just exactly what you were describing, Jamie. And if he said, "Hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so," immediately they would think him to be a physician. So, you know, on a professional level, this guy figured it out a long time ago about, he's a nurse.
And I don't think I think you're absolutely right. I think it doesn't, the focus of a nurse is the same. It might be more in depth. It might have more training and background behind it and more knowledge to back it up. But our focus is going to be on the same aspects of improving patient care and the patient healthcare experience. And it doesn't matter, the more training, the better. But do we really need to worry about that as much? Lovely, any thoughts?
I plan to, you know, go for my DNP, and I plan to call myself nurse. I just think that's what's appropriate. I don't know if the patients are so much confused by, I mean, because a lot of patients think that nurse practitioners are doctors. So, like, I agree with you that, you know, some health professionals should do a better job, you know, introducing themselves. And I'm also seeing a lot more color coding coming back into the hospitals. You know, housekeeping wears one color and tech wears this color. So that might help with that a little bit. But I still think that a nurse with a doctorate is a nurse.
Well, and so it doesn't seem like it's going to be a huge issue. I mean, the color coding thing drives me nuts because every hospital has their own version of it. So it's not consistent across the healthcare system. So we're not going to know what color you're wearing. And that's only if they saw the chart on the way in, which they probably weren't paying attention to much if they're in the hospital to begin with. Should give them like a little, you know, little laminated sheet with like, you know, scrub tops on it. And this is your nurse. This is your doctor.
You know, I make a habit of wearing the white pants, the white top, the white lab coat. I wear white when I go into work 9 times out of 10. I've had a lot of patients tell me, oh, I knew you were the nurse because you were wearing white. I like that idea. I know I'm a throwback, but, you know, I would wear a cap. I would wear a cap, except I just don't. My hair's thinning with age, and I don't have enough hair to keep it up.
Well, my attitude is you could cover all your bald spots with it.
That's true.
Yeah, but you're nothing wrong with being a throwback. I would wear white if I thought that it would still be white when I would come home.
Exactly.
But that's not exactly what, in my current position, likely to happen.
Right.
But yeah, there's nothing. I don't like the white pants colored top look on me personally. But yeah, I would do it immediately if I thought that there was some way of keeping that uniform pristine. I mean, there's never been, even in ICU and wherever I worked, you always run the chance of ruining your scrubs, but it seems to be more so in ER.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump on down to the next topic. And this one kind of, I'm going to skip over to one of our later articles. This came out of Sweden, and it was an interesting topic just because I think that it's going to be a little bit of a shock to some nurses out there, because we've talked about being very busy, not having enough time to show to be able to sit and communicate as much as with our patients maybe as we'd like in some situations, the concept of people before paper. And then we get to this article that I picked up from Sweden, where a mother who had recently given birth by C-section 2 days before was asked to help clean up her room because the hospital was short-staffed. And you know, as bad as it gets, I can't ever remember hearing anything like that before.
Never. I'm also noticing not only did she have to clean her room, and tidy up, as they say, before she was discharged, she had to call the nurses every time she needed medicine, her medicine, because the nurses forgot to bring it in. And her partner was helping care for her in the hospital because the other nurses had other patients to deal with. And the midwives, it says in the article, admitted that these claims were true. And she said, midwife Gunnel Westerlund said, she describes precisely those bits we don't have time for. Medical safety always comes first, and you can't leave another mother while she's giving birth. Okay, well, what's their ratio? One nurse to 85 mothers? You know, this is just, it's just ludicrous. What kind of healthcare do they have over there? is it like, nationalized or anything? I mean, they don't mention, but... Oh, I'm just throwing it out there for argument's sake. But I'd love to know what kind of...
Oh, you're just stirring the pot.
Me? Oh, my God. Not a chance. But, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, this is just... Can you imagine the outcry if this happened in this country? I'm certain, well, there better be an outcry because it's happening in Sweden. But it's unbelievable.
Well, there is an outcry, obviously, because it made it into the news and, yeah. You know, made it into my news search for nursing issues. But walking into the room with a laundry bag and saying, here, you know, put your linens, fill this up with your sheets and stuff.
After a C-section, I mean, you know, you're barely, I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, 48 hours after a C-section, I was not, I was moving kind of slow and wouldn't even clean my own house, let alone clean in my hospital room. And I wonder, after the person leaves, because she's told to strip the sheets and, quote, tidy up. Well, what does tidy up mean? Get bleach and scrub down the surfaces? I mean, what other cleaning was done before the next mom came into the room? Makes you wonder.
Oh, no. Before she could give birth, she had to clean. She had to scrub the surfaces. She came in, her water broken, and they handed her a squirt bottle and a roll of paper towels and said, here you go, ma'am.
Now, maybe they're much more modern than that and just handed her a container of bleach wipes.
With the red top?
Oh, with the red tops, yep. With the big sign that says not a baby wipe on it. Oh,
although I must add here that the last time I was hospitalized, my nurses knew that I was a nurse and they asked me if I would mind stringing up my own antibiotics when it was time.
Get out.
No way.
Them on the IV pole and I popped them on when it was time.
Well, I have offered to do that when I was in the hospital. You know, it's kind of like, oops, sorry, I muted myself, God forbid. I'll hang it or just leave it here and I'll spike it, you know, but I've offered to do it and they're usually horrified. Oh, well, no. I'm like, okay, I do it all the time. I did it yesterday. I could do it today, you know. But yeah, I've offered. I've never had them tell me to do it or ask me to do it.
Well, that crosses the line. I can't imagine. I mean, yeah, the thing is, here's the thing. You're right, Kim. It's not like you've got a whole lot of other things to do if you're just laying there in the hospital bed waiting for some assistance. But still, I can't imagine as a care provider taking care of that person as a nurse or anyone to say, yeah, Kim, if they handed you the NG tube, would you do it yourself?
I would insist. Absolutely not letting anybody get near me with that thing. So if the only thing standing between me and certain death is an NG tube, I'll put it down myself. Thank you very much. I know how to do it.
I want to get a video of that.
Yeah, well, trust me. I know how to do it.
I got the camera at Blog World. Carrie, you bring the NG tube kit with you.
Well, I'm not going to do it unless I have to. It's not a case of let me show you how to do it.
Or get it drunk enough.
Oh, geez. Well, then I'll need one, won't I? Terry, you talk like there's drinking that goes on at Blog World.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. Shocked to hear you say that.
Here's the freshly driven snow. What are you talking about?
I'm the one who talks about my picture with Midget Elvis last year at Blog World. So.
Oh, dear.
Well, I think we've devolved the topic far enough that we can get to our final story.
Oh, no.
I think we've gotten to Vegas, and that means it's okay.
What a segue.
Get the whip out.
Kim, I found this one just for you.
Uh-huh.
It is an announcement from the New York Times movie section entitled for a newly released film called Modern Love is Automatic. It's an independent film being released in New York this coming week. And it is about a nurse who decides to moonlight as a dominatrix.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The only thing I can pray is that they keep the two profession, and I use the term loosely for the second one, separate, totally separate. Oh, hell, that wouldn't even make it good. It's just, it's just another in a long line of, you know, this type of thing. And there's, I'm going to go out on a limb without ever seeing it and say that there's nothing that could remotely make this right or redeem it as a socially redeeming piece of art. This is bunk.
Well, no, nurses have private lives too.
Well, yeah, but that's hello, private. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's nurses out there that
are very good at being dominatrixes.
Exactly. And I'm sure there are doctors and police officers and grocery store clerks and you know, just, I don't know. Oh, geez.
Terry, comment.
You'd have to cut everything out of this broadcast or podcast that I'm thinking right now. I just can't get the picture out of my mind of Kim in leather.
Oh, my God. Oh, you had to go there. Oh, boy.
You know, Lovely's never going to come back on the show.
And the thing is, it doesn't tell you much about the movie. It just says he adds nothing to the whips and leather cinematic cliches. Really? You know, oh, gee. And then at the end, it takes you to a place you weren't expecting. I mean, it's
gonna,
like, what?
Go ahead. No. I was going to say, are you going to wear that at Plug World?
Oh, hell no. Oh. Jeez.
I can put that picture right next to my picture of me with the midget Elvis.
And you would, too.
I would.
At least with the midget Elvis, you were fine. The midget Elvis was interesting. Well, not that you weren't interesting, but it was the midget Elvis who was the, you know, off-the-wall character there. Oh, gosh. I would love, I don't even know where to go with this. I know, I'm speechless. Yeah, it happened.
Oh, my work here is done.
God.
Lovely. And my question to you about this and is when, as a student nurse, are you bothered when nurses are portrayed in ways that are not necessarily mainstream in the media?
Oh, not really, because everyone's portrayed as they are not in the media. It's the media. It's just some people can't distinguish between the two. I mean, there's a lot of nurse shows and doctor shows, and, you know, not every nurse is sleeping with the doctor on call in the closet. Like, that's just TV. So
that reminds me of Scrubs.
Yeah.
Well, Scrubs is a comedy and a scene like that, but I think that a lot of times, more than just the more than just nurses as sex object. Yeah, that's out there. And I think that that's really, and I agree, that's just so over the top that nobody really honestly in their mind thinks that that's going on at the hospital. I think more often what we see in the media is a misrepresentation or a devaluation of what nursing practice is. Doctors doing more of actually, like on Grey's Anatomy, the doctors do everything the nurses would do, because it's about the doctors, and if they just showed what doctors actually did, while it's important, it wouldn't make for dramatic television. And so they need to be functioning and working, and so they basically take the nursing function and hand it over to the doctors. So I think where the confusion for the public lands is in what nursing practice actually is and what nurses are actually responsible for. You see a nurse dressed up in a, you know, mini skirt with thigh-high boots and that kind of stuff in the ads. And I look at that and I think, well, that's stupid, you know, but I don't think, how rude. And yet you'll see like the truth about nursing, you know, Sandy takes this stuff on all the time about and sees it as more pervasive in society, whereas people get that impression about nurses and then it devalues nursing as a whole.
don't they? I mean, and I think Lovelay made this point that they really they're equal opportunity offenders, the mainstream media and TV and movies. They misrepresent doctors. They misrepresent paramedics and EMTs. They misrepresent nurses. People think that, you know, either they think that doctors are like House, in which case they're going to be, you know, be treated completely inappropriately, or they think they're doctors like House and whatever's wrong with them will be miraculously cured. And so they have there's just all kinds of different ways we're misrepresented in any profession. And they do the same thing for cops and for any other show. We need that show about postal workers.
Yeah. And, you know, we need a show. And I think there's been a few. I'm not watching TV as much as I used to, but there was some shows about actual nursing as it was happening, like a lot like Cops. You know, you ride along with the police officers and you actually see what they deal with, and they're actually talking to them on the beat. That's a fantastic portrayal of what they deal with every day. And it's fascinating, well, for me anyway, it's fascinating to watch that. I'd like to see the same thing with nurses. The problem is you really can't do that with nursing unless you get the okay from every single patient they see. You're running into HIPAA violations a lot of times because you can't show nursing care without showing patient care or the patients and their situation. So I would think it's easier with police officers to show what they do than it is to actually go in with an actual nurse and actually see what they deal with every day without glossing over it a little bit or having to hold back because of privacy issues.
I think you're right, and it's unfortunate. I mean, they used to do a lot more medical, quote-unquote, reality shows, but that was all before HIPAA, and we haven't seen a whole lot since then.
No, I think everybody's so freaked out about HIPAA and overreacted to HIPAA that it kind of just sucked the air out of any of that reality type television. And everybody's so afraid to take that step over a line, or they might step over the line and be fined or whatever. It made everybody paranoid.
So Terry, I have a quick question for you as we get ready to wrap up here. What do you call your nurse dominatrix?
Oh.
Kim, you told him you wouldn't tell.
Well, Terry, some secrets are just meant to be out there.
You know what? You're just going to have to look it up on Craigslist.
Jamie, that was such a bad question. Oh, my God.
Actually, when I said it, I didn't mean it like Terry. I meant, and I thought that'd be a great title for the show. What do you call a nurse dominatrix?
Oh, no. Don't you dare. I'll have to take you on the blog.
You can take me on anytime you want.
Okay, wow. This is the R-rated insights.
I didn't. No, come on now. I didn't. All right.
You better stop while you're ahead.
I've lost complete control, just like I do at the end of every Insights in Nursing episode. Oh, my goodness gracious. Kim, where can we find you when you take me on your blog?
Well, you can find this at emergyblog.com, and I'll announce it on Twitter, and you can find me on Twitter under emergyblog.
Great. Thanks a lot, Kim. Terry, what about you? Where can we find you online?
NurseWretchesPlace.com, and on Twitter I am Mother Jones RN, and I want to see this smackdown.
Okay. Well, you know, wait, maybe we'll just have to have it out. We'll have it out in Vegas.
Only going to be a smackdown if that's what he entitles the episode.
Actually, I have another title. It occurred to me that I shouldn't be too provocative.
Since when?
Oh, my goodness. Lovelay, thank you for coming on. I hope you will come back again and join us.
I'm not afraid.
Where can we find you?
I'm over at thedogatemycareplan.wordpress.com, and you can also find me on Twitter. Isn't she Lovelay, Lovelei.
Excellent. And of course, you can find me on The Nursing Show at nursingshow.com and over at the ProMed Network with all of our great shows for nurses and other medical professionals, promednetwork.com. And ladies, I want to thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk with us here today. I'll have to ponder what I'm going to call this particular episode. But in the meantime, I want to remind everybody you can find this and every other episode of Insights in Nursing over at insightsinnursing.com. And of course, you can find the show in iTunes and over at the Zune Marketplace. And you can subscribe to the show directly from the links right there on the front page. You'll find links to everything we talk about in this episode. And if you have any questions, comments, you'd like to tell me that I've gone over the edge, that's okay. You can do that by sending me an email directly to insightsinnursing@gmail.com. So I guess I won't call it "What do you call a nurse dominatrix?" Yeah. I'll just draw a line through that one. And I was like, "Oh, it's a great title."